All right. Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today's Psalm is Psalm 19b. So there's one Psalm 19, but it's the way that the church does this in the Liturgy of the Hours. It breaks it up into two parts because it's 15 lines, but it's fairly long. Breaks up into the two sections. And this is Psalm 19, so it's book one. And therefore, this psalm is attributed to David. And again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey and approved for use in the church in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for the Psalms. Now, we previously looked at the first seven verses, 19a. Today, we're going to look at verses 8 through 15, 19b. And the prescript for this psalm says, "For the choir master, a psalm of David." Very simple. So now let's begin at verse 8. "The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The decrees of the Lord are steadfast. They give wisdom to the simple." I love that. God's law is perfect. Why? Because it comes from God, right? We have God's eternal law, right? That's God's inner intelligibility. Those are the laws that God used to create the universe and everything that exists, everything that will ever exist. And then we have the divine law, which is that part of God's eternal law that has been revealed to us, right? And the fullness of that revelation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? So he's the fullness of divine revelation. And so God himself gave us laws, gave us the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Hadibrot, the 10 words of God. He gave us the natural moral law, which the Ten Commandments is an articulation of the natural moral law, which the fundamental principle says do good and avoid evil. So God's law is perfect. The problem is we take those laws from God and we twist them and distort them and pervert them to make them look more like our law, instead of our following God's law and giving ourselves over to him. Like I mentioned in the first segment about spiritual sacrifice, offering our lives to God. And in order to do that, we follow God's law. That's part of the sacrifice. But no, we want the culture to follow our laws. We want to forget what God says. We want to become our own gods. Again, because this temptation in the desert, Well, Jesus was tempted in the desert, but the temptation of our first parents in the garden in Genesis 3, we still see that same, the technique that the devil uses over and over again. We are God, right? Decrees of the Lord, they give wisdom to the simple, right? They give wisdom to the simple. So you don't have to be a scholar to understand God's law. You just have to be open to receiving everything that God wants to do in your life. It continues in verse 9. "The precepts of the Lord are right. They gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear. It gives light to the eyes." So this is a further reflection on the previous verse 8. God's law is right. It gladdens the heart. The command of the Lord is clear. It gives light to the eyes. Those who live in darkness have seen a great light. You remember that line, right? This psalm is reminiscent of that. That God's law opens our eyes to the reality of who God is and how he wants to enter into our lives, into our hearts, and be our Father, right? To be our Father, to be in a relationship of loving and life-giving communion with all of us. Then it continues in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is pure." Now remember, yare there, for fear doesn't mean be afraid of. It means honor, reverence, and respect. So the fear of the Lord is pure, abiding forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are, all of them, just. Right? So another beautiful reflection. These first three verses, 8, 9, and 10, is just talking about how beautiful, how right, how just, how pure the law of God is. And what we have to do is open our hearts to receive that so we can truly, truly live out our humanity in a way that's commensurate with God's love and God's law in our lives.
Yeah, what's that phrase? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but then I can also do things with Bible verses out of context. And, you know, sometimes we do it because we don't take the time to want to understand it. Like, we just hear it from other people and go, oh, well, they're smarter than me. They must be quoting it properly. You know, so it's not even to point fingers of, like, you should. It's a know it for yourself. So that, you know, because the word even says, be ready to defend your faith. Well, why do you believe this? Well, it's not just because you read it, you studied it, you applied it, then you saw the fruit of what happened when you apply it. Like, all of those things all connect within our stories, right? And so know it so that you're not just taking someone else's, even not even taking Deacon and I's word on something, right? Like, find out for yourself. And then if we're right, great. You don't have to tell us. Just know that it was that spark that's like, yes, I want to know more about what his word says, because everything about it is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. That beautifully said. And yeah, so these first three verses kind of give us an articulation of the characteristics of God's law. Perfect, steadfast, simple, clear, pure, true. Okay? So now we get to the second part of the psalm, verse 11. So these laws of God are more to be desired than gold, than quantities of gold. So we are desire God's law more than any earthly thing. We don't put any earthly thing before following God's law. And sweeter are they than honey flowing from the comb. All right? So the allurement of things in the world may try to draw us away from God's law. Oh, look how beautiful that looks. Look how sweet that tastes. Look how, right? But God's law is more beautiful and sweeter than anything this world has to offer. That's something that we have to remember. That we have to remember. Yes, there's temptations in the world. There's no question or doubt about that. But to overcome those temptations and truly live our life to the fullest, right? This is what Jesus says in John's gospel. I came to bring life and life to the full. In order to have that fullness of life, we need to follow God's law with all of our hearts, which means that we have to not cave into the temptations of worldly things, gold, honey, things that, yeah, that taste sweet, that are valuable, but there's nothing more valuable than aligning my will with the holy will of God. Verse 12, so in them your servant finds instruction. Great reward is in their keeping. See, not according to the world. The world says, oh, you follow God's law, you're a slave. No, it's following God's law that makes you free. That's the point. That's the point that the culture doesn't want you to hear. That following God's law actually frees you, not enslaves you. But who can detect their own errors? From hidden faults, acquit me. Right? So look, God looks in the depths of the heart. He just doesn't look at what we do on the surface. He looks at what we're doing within our hearts, how we're acting with our hearts. So yes, we may be say, oh yeah, I love God, and all the words are coming out of our mouth, but our hearts are hardened. Right? So God says, no, he wants to look into the depths of our heart, because that's where our true desire for him resides. And then verse 14, from presumption, restrain your servant. May it not rule me. I don't want to presume that I know God's will for myself, that I can determine things for myself apart from God. Yeah, I can do that, but we're not going to live a life that God has intended for us to live. We're not going to live to the full potential of who we are by following the ways of the world. So we can't be presumptuous when it comes to God's law. May it not rule me. Then shall I be blameless, clean from grave sin. Ah, that's what if we want to make ourselves a living sacrifice, offering our lives to God, we have to be free from sin, from the temptation. God's law keeps us on the straight and narrow and helps us to fight in those moments of temptation. That's why I love St. Peter Chrysologus was talking about putting on that armor of God, kind of riffing off of Ephesians chapter 6, preparing ourselves, preparing our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our lives to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But it means sacrifice. And Christ did it first. He died on that cross first to make an example for all of us to follow him. Right? Beautiful. And then finally, verse 15, may the spoken words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart. Win favor in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So, Lord, let me articulate in how I speak, in what I say, in how I say things, how I interact with people, how I witness the power of your love working in my life. Let me be a true witness of your word, of your love, and your life to everyone in my sphere of influence, everyone I come into contact with. Let them see you through me. May the spoken words of my and the thoughts of my heart. So let the innermost depth of my being give you honor and glory and win favor in your sight, O Lord, who is our rock, who is our redeemer, who is our Savior.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.